Frank is coming forward to read the scripture for us, and we thank you for that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The reading this morning is from the 21st chapter of Luke, verses 25 through 28. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
Thank you, Frank. I don't know how many of you remember him, but NFL quarterback Jeff Hostetler is not one of the names that we throw out usually for quarterbacks. In the beginning of his career, Jeff was a backup quarterback, and by the seventh season, he had thrown less than 200 passes. That's not very many over that period of time. Then Phil Sims, the starting quarterback for the New York Giants, was injured, and Coach Bill Parcells looked up at his quarterback, the next one, and said, "Okay, Jeff, it's your turn." So Jeff Hostetler ran out onto the field and led his team to victory, not only in that game and the other games, but also to the Super Bowl. During those 7 years, Jeff was in waiting, hoping to get his chance to play. And during that time, he threw thousands of passes, had a swing set up with a tire, and would swing it and try to throw the ball through that. He worked with the wide receivers when he could and the running backs in countless practice sessions, not just during regular team practice, but at other times, doing everything he could to sharpen his skills. He lifted tons of weights, did hundreds of push-ups and sit-ups and jogged and did all those types of things. Then he literally spent hundreds of hours poring over the playbook, making sure he knew if a play was called, he knew exactly what that play would be. He learned the defense, and when there was a game coming up, he would study the defense of the other team. He was ready when he was called. Nowadays, we call it next man up. We're at the beginning of that season of the year when we call it Advent. Advent is a time of preparation. It is a time of getting ready. The Latin derivative from the word Advent literally means to come. During these weeks, we focus our attention on Christ having come into the world and Christ coming into the world again. We consider the words of the prophets and their expectations for the Messiah, who the Messiah would be. We ponder the meaning of the text in the New Testament to speak of the return to rule, to judge, and to save at the end of time. Our theme for the Sundays of Advent is signs of Christ's coming. We live in a time when we're surrounded by signs, large billboards and electronic signs everywhere you go, in front of churches, on stores, directional signs, all types of signs. Patricia planned to attend a family reunion in Florida. They had not had one for years, and she helped in the planning, was looking forward to seeing cousins and aunts and uncles and that she knew, and then many that she did not know because they lived in different parts of the country. Been looking so forward to the event, even had helped plan this reunion. And long-distance conversations had brought all the plans to a satisfactory place, and they were ready, had the room, the land, food being brought. It was now time for the reunion. So instead of flying to Florida, Patricia decided that she would drive. But there was a problem. Patricia liked talking on her cell phone when she drove. And she also liked listening to music on her iPod. Fortunately, Patricia reached Florida safely, but the distractions of her high-tech toys caused her to miss a sign for an important turn. Before long, she was lost, unaware of what to do next. She began to fret. She began to worry. This was an event that she had helped plan, and she did not want to miss even a moment of it. But because she missed the sign, she missed her turn and missed most of the reunion. Signs are very important to us. Imagine trying to navigate in an area that you don't know without a sign, or having a map, or having a GPS in your car. Signs keep us aware of our surroundings. They help with directions. They even help us keep safe by warning us places we should not be. To ignore signs is risky, and it can sometimes be costly and even cost you your life or serious injury. Just this past year, my home state of South Carolina had historic flooding. They didn't call it a 100-year flood. They were calling it a 1,000-year flood, and I hope that is true. But as roads were washed away, signs were put up. But people attempted to drive around the signs anyway and were washed away in their cars, some even losing their lives, ignoring the sign. Just this past week when I was watching the news, that was a story about three teenagers who drove through a stop sign and were hit by a truck, or they hit the truck. Two are hurt pretty bad. One is paralyzed from the chest down. Signs are there for a reason, and we cannot ignore the signs. In our scripture for today, Jesus notes that there are signs that will precede the coming of the Son of Man. Christ said that no one, not even he, knew what that day and time would be. And yet he said there will be signs. And these signs include and are cause many people today to be terrified. The signs, it was read, said to include the sun and the moon and stars being shaken and the sea roaring and being tossed. We don't know exactly what that means. But it says the world will experience an unprecedented state of chaos. Things will be out of control. It's a very disturbing passage for us. Yet notice what Jesus says about these events. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Does that sound like he's trying to frighten us, to want us to have fear of what is going to happen eventually? He's not telling us to duck. He's not telling us to run for cover and hide up in the mountains. He's not telling us to take all of our money out of our bank and stuff it under our mattress. He's saying your redemption is drawing near. Look up. Many preachers today are using, especially the book of Revelation and fear tactics, to keep their congregations in line. But what that does to them is make them always, everything is about the end of the world. And that's all they think about. And they live with a sense of fear. Many TV preachers are using all sort of fear tactics, talking about the end of the world and moons lining up and moons being red and all kind of abstract things to get you to send your money or buy their book. Too many preachers use fear as a motivator. Now, I've never believed in using fear, because the Bible teaches us that God is love. It doesn't say God is fear. God is love. If you're going to a church or listening to a TV preacher and you begin to live in fear, then my friends, it's time to find another church. It's time to change the channel on your TV. If you love Jesus, the thought of him coming anytime, whether at Christmas or at the end of time, ought to be a time of rejoicing and happiness and celebration for us. I just love it during the Advent and Christmas season when we get to sing Joy to the Lord. The Lord is Come by Isaac Watts. I love that. That's my kind of religion. One pastor tells a story about seminary days. There was no gymnasium gym for the seminary students to play basketball, so they would go next door to the school. And the custodian that was there would have to wait for them to get through so he could finish his work for the day and clean up. Well, every time this happened, he would sit there reading his Bible. And one of the seminarians noticed what he was doing and walked over to him and said, "Oh, what are you reading?" And he said, "I'm reading the book of Revelation." Student said, "Do you know what it means?" He said, "Yes, I do know what it means." And the seminarian looked at him, "You know what the book of Revelation means?" And he simply said, "Yes, Jesus wins." And that's what we have to hold on to. Evil doesn't win, good wins. Devil doesn't win, Jesus Christ, God wins. And we, my friends, are on the winning team. No matter if it looks like we're down by 3 touchdowns in this fourth quarter, we're going to win. That's all that matters. The people who love Jesus. Jesus is going to win, and that is good news for us. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them this parable later on in the scripture. Look at the fig tree and all the trees when they sprout leaves. You can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. When we see the world going crazy, we know that the end is near. As theologian Marcus Borg puts it, the kingdom of God is what life would be like on earth if God were king and the kings and the rulers, and I'll add the politicians, were not. It is a world of economic justice and peace where the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, where no one will live in fear. That sounds like a great place to live to me. And does that mean that there'll be no more cancer, no more economic chaos, no one unemployed, no more war, no more sickness, no more pain? I don't know exactly what it would be like, but if it's anything like that, then sign me up and keep me on this winning team. We're such a fearful people at times. Was it last year that one man in the United States of America died of Ebola? People were scared to go out. We're all going to die of Ebola. Now we don't even talk about it. It's over. We worry about the economy. But the truth is that we live in homes that many of us are twice the size of our parents' homes. I won't say we drive better cars because I do like the old cars, but at least a lot more technology on them. And we're worried about events in the Middle East. And we should have some concern about ISIS, ISIL, whatever you want to call them. But when we compare the threat from ISIS, as terrible as ISIS is, to the threat that was going on in World War II with Hitler, and when the Japanese in a world war, at this moment, which would you choose? Well, we have to remember, no matter what is going on, it is ultimately under God's control. Not our control, not our government's control, not the military's control, but ultimately under God's control. A few verses later, Christ says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Does that mean we can trust every promise that Christ has made to us? Absolutely. Yes, we can. If Christ said it, we can believe it. We can count on it. Of course, it does include the promise that no matter what happens, He will give us peace that passes all understanding. And there is a condition in this. There's an if here. If we trust Him. If we place our faith in Him. Then he adds a word of caution. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and anxieties of life. Surely he's not talking about any of us here at Glenshaw Valley. I can't imagine any of you will be drinking or carousing or worrying during this holiday season. Well, maybe a few of us. What Christ is saying to us is that we live in a world of freedom, and some of us will bring heartache on ourselves by our unhealthy behavior and attitudes and choices that we make. Some of us will put stress on our hearts by unhealthy anxiety during the Christmas season. It's a high anxiety time, and it shouldn't be. It really should not be. The anxiety and the fear is not God's will for us. And that says, always be on watch is his final word to us. Like a child looking forward to Santa coming and bringing those toys and waking up with joy. Be on watch. Like a couple waiting the birth, like my niece is in January, of their first child. Be on watch. Like a family waiting for the return of a military member that's been in Afghanistan and been there for 6 months or 9 months, however long the deployment is, waiting for him or her to come home so they can hold them and kiss them and have that reunion. That should be our attitude during Advent. This is the reason for waiting. It is a season of hope, and we cannot forget that. Our redemption is drawing near. The kingdom of heaven is drawing near. It is coming close. Does close mean this year, or 5 years, or 100 years, or 1,000 years? We don't know, because there's been stress and economic chaos and tornadoes and hurricanes and typhoons, earthquakes, all kind of things, and war from the beginning of history. So is this the time? I don't know. But I do know that Christ says, look up. Your redemption is drawing near. Watch, wait, and I would add this, work for the kingdom of God until he comes. May God bless you. Amen.